This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Baseball is a boring show. I'm Rob Bradford, live from JetBlue Park, where we are watching the Savannah Bananas still go through their warm-ups in preparation of their game tonight against the Party Animals at JetBlue Park. And thank you to Zach Frangillo, Director of Creative Entertainment, I'm sorry, for the Savannah Bananas. We've had him on the podcast a few different times, and he offers the best insight when it comes to the Savannah Bananas. And in case you don't know what we're talking about, well, you've been living under a rock, so I apologize if we didn't explain it, but I think you do know what we're talking about when it comes to the Savannah Bananas. And in order to fully appreciate it, I can tell you, you have to see it. So, Sammy and Gordo, thank you for sitting idly by. I was going to actually ask Zach a question, but we ran out of time. What question would you like me to ask him later for you? Anything?
Well, I really want to know how they find players. Like, do they have... tryouts?
We were actually just talking. They do have tryouts, so we were talking in a break about that because they say, hey, you know, do they make a living wage? And it's like they pay much better than minor leaguers, which isn't saying much. But he was citing an example, and I forget the gentleman's name, which joined the Savannah Bananas halfway through last year, and he said he was actually drafted. And he chose not to sign with the team he was drafted in. He was a theater kid who said, I'm not going to make the major leagues. This is a path, and he's been one of the stars for them. So, yeah, I mean, it comes back to they have tryouts. So if you guys want to try out, there's still time. So there you go.
All right. I'll try out. Cool.
Sammy's definitely athletic enough. You got it. Sammy's strong.
Is he?
Pat's
is he
fairly maybe Pat. Pat's a,
I mean,
Pat's a little
I feel
bit
like
taller than
I feel like there can be some sort of routine done around Pat's traps. All right, we can do that.
Yeah.
Yes,
jump off his traps. Catch a line drive.
All right. So speaking of jumping off things, let's jump right off back into the Alex Bregman conversation, the Red Sox, and maybe a bigger topic when it comes to the Red Sox, because now, I don't know if you know this, Alex Bregman is in a Red Sox uniform. He's going to have his press conference tomorrow. He's been working out. He's part of the fabric that is this organization. We know what this team is right now. So push aside the Bregman euphoria for a second, guys. What's your feeling right now as we sit here about this team?
What's my feel? I feel I haven't felt a feeling like this since what, Gordo? 2018, 2019, where you feel really good about the upcoming season. It feels foreign to me, which is sad. It shouldn't. It should feel normal, but I don't know. I'm just enjoying this unusual feeling. It feels like I'm time traveling as a baseball fan, but I'm not. I can't get enough of it, and I can't push aside the euphoria, Rob, and I won't, so my apologies,
no,
but not really.
No, I want you to. I want you to feel good about things, right? I've seen the sad Sammy. I don't like the sad Sammy. I don't like the sad Gordo. I do like the angry Gordo, but I don't, you know, you guys have weathered this storm that is the Red Sox for a long, long time. And, you know, since I've known you over the last couple of years, you've ridden the roller coaster. You've ridden the wave. There's been bouts of optimism. But right now, if you sit here, and we talked about it with Lou about how some people still are going to twist this into a narrative, a weird narrative about how, oh, well, finally, about time you spend money. It doesn't matter. You're just trying to make up for it, and you're just trying to save yourself. Well, okay, well, all right, fine. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't care. I could not care less. All I care about is that the Boston Red Sox are a good baseball team. I'm 99% sure that we've got that, so I'm happy. I'm like I said at the beginning of the show, I've been in a good mood for the last 2 days or so, way too good of a mood, which is a little alarming because this is a baseball team full of people that mostly don't know me very well, and they're dictating my mood, and I couldn't be happier about it. Whatever.
The other thing about that narrative is it's also not true. That narrative isn't true. People are going to say it. Because they want something to be angry about, especially as it pertains to the Red Sox, but it's not true.
Yeah, it's not like in year five of not being good, John Henry was finally like, okay, let's appease the fans. Like, no, it's a baseball move. It made sense.
We talked about it for months about how this was the perfect fit, the perfect move. It turns out they saw it the same way.
We talked on Play Tessie about how the fans think that, like, oh, maybe like the complaining. Maybe if we complain enough, then Brezel will hear. Like, you think they hear it for the last 5 years? They know. And I'm just glad it's changing. Hopefully, we get more. Hopefully, this isn't it. It sounds like they're not done yet.
Yeah, Cora seemed to imply that maybe they're not quite done.
Well, they need a reliever. I mean, that's what they're not done.
100%.
Maybe. I don't know.
How you finish the offseason right there. We were talking about grades.
Robertson. Give me David Robertson. Makes all the sense in the world.
Take a Robert Suarez dump.
Sure.
Well, we still haven't had a Tristan Casas sighting yet. And is there a possibility that you trade Tristan Casas, who a very, very valuable trade commodity, for something, and then make a deal for Nolan Arenado? I'm just spitballing.
Please tell me that was just spitballing.
I don't know. No, I'm with you guys when it comes to Casas. All right. I'm totally with you.
I almost walked out of the studio.
Don't
just
mess this right. up now.
Well, you know why you're gonna want it. You know why you're gonna want to stay in the studio?
Why is that?
Brian Abraham, the chief farm person here.
You got to get the title right, Rob. He got big promotion. Get it
Chris
right.
Chris Cotillo just walked in the door and is leaning against the wall. Like, what do you want, Chris? I'll tell you the sunglass story. But first, we're going to take a break. We're going to do a trending with Jacob. We'll be back with Brian Abraham, chief farm director, minor league. I don't know what he is. All right, we'll be back with.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Brian Abraham. All right, welcome back to Baseball's Boring Life from JetBlue Park. We've had an action-packed day. Lots going on. We still see the Savannah Bananas warming up, practicing in front of us, which is a sight to behold. Speaking of sights to behold, we have in studio, up in the broadcast booth, I'm going to call him the mentor for all minor leaguers, Brian Abraham.
That's a cop-out. That's a cop-out, Rob.
No, it's a good one. Mentor for all minor leaguers. Minor league mentor. Right? Correct?
I'll take it.
You'll take it?
I'll take it.
I can basically say anything you'll say.
I feel like that doesn't have enough shine to it, Rob. You got to give him
minor league mentor? Like guru for
I feel like the minor leagues are about the grind, you know, about trying to figure it out to get to the big leagues where that's the glitz and the glamour. So
it's weird. I went on your LinkedIn page the other day and it said Brian Abraham, minor league mentor, and also runs number one farm system in all of baseball. That was weird that you put that up there.
LinkedIn is a place to where I can run wild, you know? So I really let it eat on there.
He's just like all of us, let it eat on LinkedIn.
Next thing you know, he'll be wearing shorts around the Red Sox spring training complex. Let's not go crazy. Yeah. All right, but in all sincerity, we appreciate Brian every time he comes up here or on the show. It just happens to be in person here at JetBlue Park. His son was just out. What a thrill. His son was playing catch for the Savannah Bananas, right?
Yeah, he might have a new career path.
Listen, I don't see why not.
Youngest pro athlete.
We were just talking about that, is that like kids now are going to start like dreaming of playing for the Savannah Bananas, much like your son is.
I mean, I don't know if he can dance. That is part of, I think, the
practice, make, on the practice yeah, makes
fair,
perfect.
Fair.
But you were saying that there's a former Red Sox minor leaguer who pitches for the Party Animals. Is that right?
Nate Tellier. He was with us the last few years. UMass Lowell. He was a sign for us, pitched for us for a couple of years. Good fastball. Had some struggles with command, but no longer with us. But I was speaking to him for a little bit out in the outfield, and has really hitched on with these guys. And he can dance. He can throw hard.
Did you know he could dance?
I did not. Always in, you know, good physical shape. I think as we look out on the field, there's a lot of guys with their shirts off.
That's so. Actually, honestly, I'm not. I didn't want to say that when Zach from Zillow was here. But one of the things you notice when you go to a Savannah Bananas game is not an accident that they get guys, you know, good-looking guys, you know, like myself and you. And I mean, we're all – but sincere, it's young guys who a lot of people come to see for various reasons. And I come for the baseball, but who knows? My wife might come for a different reason. I don't know.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. All right, well, Sammy and Gordo, I know you have questions for Brian Abraham because you always do. So as the person who can answer those questions, go ahead. What do you got?
All right, Brian, quick question here. It's early in spring training, but pitchers and catchers have been there. Is there anyone that's caught your eye specifically on the minor league side that maybe you weren't expecting or maybe we should keep an eye on?
I think we've had a lot of guys that have made a ton of improvements this offseason. You know, we've talked about this in the past. Our offseason programming or our offseason programs are full go in Fort Myers at the end of the season, minus the dead period, then right after the new year. So I think there's a large group of players that I think look really, really good. Peyton Tolley comes to mind. Brandon Clark comes to mind. A couple draft picks from last year. Nelly Taylor on the position player side. Justin Reamer on the position player side. It's always so hard to single out players. It's great to see Roman, Marcelo, and Christian. You know, I would say they're obviously hoping to make the team, but I would consider them minor leaguers.
By the way, they're having the time of their lives. Like, I walk in that major league clubhouse, so they have the three lockers together. And those guys, you can tell, they just, like, smile ear to ear.
A lot of smiles.
Yeah, but that's all that major league per diem probably doesn't hurt.
There's something about big league spring training. You put on those white uniforms, and you get a couple extra pairs of pants, some more gear, free stuff, and it's all smiles for those three. But if I was that good, I'd probably be smiling that much, too.
Yeah, well, someday we'll have them back on the program. I look forward to that. All right, well, also, Gordo, you got a question? What's going on?
That was Gordo. Now it's Sammy.
Do we really sound that similar?
Yeah, do we sound that much alike? I thought it was clear that
Pat,
was Gordo.
Pat, you have a question? Pat, no? Oh, he's not there. All right. Sammy, you got a question? What's going on?
Yeah, well, first I have to thank you. That was a beautiful segue for the question I have. We see these pictures of Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, and Christian Campbell hanging out a lot. And in my head, I'm like, is that the Red Sox trying to make it look like these guys are friends, or are they actually friends? And so first, that's my first question. And if so, if they are friends, how important is it that these top guys are close, they are friendly, and they are going through this journey together?
We have a great marketing team, and we tell these guys,
walking together, right?
It's right before they leave the clubhouse. That is part of the conversation. Yeah. No, they genuinely like each other. And I think, quite honestly, we're really, really lucky. And our acquisition group, the pro side, the amateur side, international side, we get a lot of really good kids that care about improving, that care about getting better. And I think that's an easy way to become friends with other players and teammates, ultimately trying to be the best version of themselves and want to win in Boston.
Can I tell you that, so one of the, I don't know if you know this, Alex Bregman signed with the Red Sox.
What?
Almost a Red Sox minor leaguer. You could have mentored him as well because he was drafted by the Red Sox, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, but didn't quite close the deal with him. But still, one of the byproducts of Bregman signing, I think, is undeniably, and I know that Craig understands this and values this as well, of having that guy in that clubhouse who can show guys, like you said, on the other side of the clubhouse, like Campbell and Anthony and Meyer, okay, this is what a winning clubhouse looks like. This is how you do your business. And you know, you've been around long enough, Brian. Like, you know, that's a very real thing, right?
Yeah, that means a lot. I think we're really lucky to have some guys that are younger that understand there's a certain way to play the game. There's a certain intensity that's needed. There's a certain type of effort that is needed in a 162-game-plus season. But to have someone who's been there, done that, who's run the World Series, who's played in front of thousands of fans that are, you know, rooting against him, and then thousands of fans that are rooting for him, to have that type of mentorship, to have that type of leadership is invaluable. It's really hard to put, you know, we talk a lot about numbers and valuations. It's really hard to put a number on that. But I know, I think from, you know, Brez's perspective, our front office's perspective, be able to add someone like that who can come in and immediately take hold of a clubhouse, not only because of the person he is, that I've heard of the person he is, but also the way he plays the game and what he has done already is again, I think, invaluable.
So I know what my day looks like. I know what my schedule usually is, which is wake up really, really early, show everyone my work ethic is off the charts by getting here about 6:30, getting in the clubhouse, having a viral video about my sunglasses happen, and then just go on my and take video and write stories and do podcasts and do a radio show. For minor leaguers, it's different, and I don't think people understand this. Like, you have the minor leaguers who are in the major league camp, but then you have minor leaguers, like guys who were drafted just last year, milling about. Tell me about what they're going through and really what they have been going through.
Well, we don't start our formal minor league workouts until next week. That will be a little bit more of a stricter schedule. But as of right now, usually players get here around 7 a.m., breakfast, go see the trainer for preventative treatment, whatever that needs to be done, potentially work out. But every single player has a specific idea of what they need to do that particular day the night before, because we send our schedule out the night before. Depending on if you're a position player or a pitcher, you have an idea whether you're on a moderate workday, a medium workday, or a high workday. Your schedule is based off of workload, and then the schedule is based off of potentially what programming you're in, whether it be a velo program or a bat speed program or a swing decision program or a command type program on the pitching side. So it is, I would say, rigorous in the sense that you kind of are running through the day nonstop, but there's a lot of different pieces that need to be talked about. There are a lot of different pieces that need to be had throughout the day to make sure that these players are holistically being developed. And as we roll next week, we start to get into a little bit more team group face work, where now it's a little bit more individualized. But I think as we roll into spring training, there's still a lot of time for individual work. It's just more group settings because there's just so many players. So it's a long day, but at the same time, we try to manage that with making sure players are hydrated, make sure they're having snacks in between, make sure they're having a full lunch, full breakfast, and then having the proper conversation with staff that they need to have so they can actually make actionable adjustments to their potential game to maximize their potential.
Sammy and Gordo, when Joe Braverman had that awful Bo Bichette trade proposal, did you say he was holistically being developed? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he developed a lot. That whole debacle.
The worst trade proposal in the history of baseball.
It was rough. We've gotten some DMs on the
playtesting
account.
We got a DM that might have been worse.
Sometimes the best trades start with bad trade proposals.
Really?
I don't know if this one would have led there, to be honest with you.
You ever heard of a kid named Yoel Cespedes? Right? You ever heard of him?
Yes.
Top 100 prospect. He was one of four players involved in this trade for Bo Bichette. Anyway, we're here to improve. We're here to look forward. So you guys got anything else for Brian?
Yeah, Brian. So there was a great video of Roman Anthony talking to Trevor Story, and then a subsequent video of Trevor Story talking with Rob Refsnyder about how Roman told him, this offseason I've been working on things that make me uncomfortable, different angles. And Trevor said that was like the dopest thing he ever heard in his life from a young guy. Is that maturity from Roman something that you see often with minor leaguers, or is that something that's special with Roman specifically?
I definitely think Roman is special within that particular area. I would say I would like to think that a lot of our players that have been with us for a few years at this point would feel very similarly if asked a similar question by Trevor. So I think that is very much our mantra, very much the way we drive our workouts and our training environments within the minor leagues, and Roman being, I think, a representation of that. It's not a surprise to hear him say it. I saw the video. I saw both videos. Pretty cool to see, how Trevor felt when he saw Roman. But I do think Roman is unique in the sense that he's 20 years old. Sometimes it feels like I'm talking to someone who's, 30, 35 and been in this game for a lot of years. So he's mature beyond his years, which I think works really well when you're trying to compete for a spot in the major league club. And I think what tends to happen with a lot of younger prospects is some of the immaturity kind of leaks into the baseball side, and that's where you find that these guys have issues. So I'd like to think that's a huge positive for Roman, along with the other guys as well. But Roman is definitely special when it comes to that.
Sammy, you got anything else?
Yeah, I feel like every spring training there's a handful of prospects who are identified as guys who have a pretty solid chance to break camp with the major league team. So my question is, when a guy like Alex Bregman is brought in, he doesn't, he doesn't end that chance for those guys, but you could argue he decreases it. Brian, do you have conversations with these young guys? Like, for example, Christian Campbell, talk to them about, okay, Alex Bregman's here now. It's different. And if so, what are those conversations like?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think there's a balance. I think because of the media landscape, because these guys are on social media, because of, Alex Bregman being a pretty legitimate, superstar playing the infield, guys are very aware of what that could potentially affect, and specifically when it comes to their opportunities in the big leagues. I think there are conversations that are had, some more formal than others. I know Brez and AC do an amazing job of being transparent with the players and explaining to them that while it might look one way on February 15th, it could look completely different at the end of March or into April as we start to get ready for break camp. So I don't think whatever player we brings in is going to change the work or the focus that some of our young guys need to focus on to be successful major leaguers. So I think one of the things we focus on, it's cliche, but it's real, is, you know, focusing on what they can control, controlling the controllables, and not worrying about everyone else on the roster, what else could happen. Because as we know, we've seen plenty of spring trainings where it seems like the roster is set, the rotation is set, and something has happened that was unknown, and the roster completely changes. So I don't think it's going to change their work. I don't think it's going to change what they're preparing for, and we'll see what happens as we roll into middle to late March and where that roster lines up.
Anybody switching positions? Minor leaguers?
Not yet.
Oh, jeez. Really?
I've heard, you know, Matt Donlin's name. Well, you know, Matt Donlin, UConn guy.
Yeah.
He was a transition to a pitcher last year. Unfortunately, had Tommy John.
Yeah.
But I think that one was known. But that's the one that comes to mind that I've heard a couple times. They're saying he's going to catch. He's no longer a catcher. He's a pitcher that throws pretty hard. Obviously recovering, but
our guy, Carson, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say he's switching positions.
No, I know, but you led us to do a podcast with him, right?
Thank How about
you
that?
It was really, really good.
He's very thankful. Thankful for that.
We're here to build up. We're here to build brands. By the way, you want to know how immersed I am in your minor league system?
Sure.
I just had a minor leaguer tell me today, before he actually proposed to his girlfriend, that he was proposing to his girlfriend.
Wow.
That he had already asked permission from the girlfriend's parents.
This game is about relationships, Rob, and you're crushing it.
It's I feel like, and I offered to take the engagement photo for them, which may or may not be baseball's and boring content. Who knows? All right. You guys good?
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
Of course.
Yeah. Part of the family, right? All right. Listen, you're doing a great job. You're building young minds, and I appreciate
mentoring everything. Young minds, Rob.
What?
Mentoring
minor leaguers. Mentoring, well, whatever. I mean, but come up with a title that you want me to call you, okay?
Brian Works.
How about if I get a t-shirt that says Brian, all right? Hi, I'm Brian. All right, there you go. There's Brian, some guy named Brian. We really appreciate your insight, and it's a lot of fun being
of
here
course.
In spring training.
Yeah,
all right.
Happy to be here. Thanks, guys.
All right, we're going to continue to talk about Alex Bregman going forward. You got 5 minutes here to keep ranting and raving. Thank you, Brian Abraham, for stopping by. Excellent job, as always. But, guys, you know, one of the things, all right, so take away from the Brian Abraham interview, if you could. I see these minor leaguers walking around. And you guys were here last year at spring training. It is a weird dynamic because – really, you have a lot, especially the draft picks from last year, like, say, Peyton Tolley or someone like, because now we don't have Braden Montgomery. But Peyton Tolley walks around, and he's walking around after the major leaguers have cleared out, on the bus that came in at 2 o'clock with some generic uniform that says Tolley on the back. It's a weird dynamic considering these guys are the guys who are going to be in the major league clubhouse that we're going to be talking about actually playing for the major leagues in, like, 2 years, right?
Yeah, I mean, Gordo and I were just talking off air about how the job of a minor leaguer has to be so daunting to them. Like, kids going away from home, you're doing this high stress job, you're away from the family, you got to make all these new friends, and then we kind of just look at them as like baseball players with a generic uniform, like you said. So I could just talk to Brian, just straight up Brian, a guy named Brian, about that stuff all day. It's so, the personal side is so fascinating.
You know what I could call him? We'll call him Baseballs and Boring Brian.
B-I-B-B.
Let the merch start coming out. Let's go. But it is also, you know, you have the minor leaguers in the major league clubhouse, and it is like these guys are a lot wide eyed, and I've seen different iterations of it where you have some guys who really, really like talking, and I remember when Devers got in there first, he really, really liked the major league per diem, just to say that, and he had to whittle it off for the next couple of months. And it's a different lifestyle, it's a different regimen, it's a different world, and I think it does really, really help when you have being around major leagues. And guys, I'll give you another example, the Rule 5 stuff. I was talking with who was I talking to? Well, Mike Vassell. This guy, Mike Vassell, BC High kid, who's now in the Rays. He's a Rule 5 guy for the Rays. And then talking to Justin Slayton just a couple days ago about it. Obviously, Garrett Whitlock. Rule 5 guys, when you were a Rule 5 pick, it used to be like, oh, you have no shot at making the team. It's such a flyer. But you have so many guys making teams and contributing. And I think it's in large part when they get in there, they get into that major league clubhouse, they're soaking stuff up, and then they're proving themselves out of the gate. It's like the Rule 5 thing isn't what it used to be.
I feel like with Rule 5 picks now these days too, it's just these teams have so much information. Like, you have to think, when the Red Sox picked Justin Slayton in last year's Rule 5 draft, like, I agree, Rob, it used to be such a flyer thing, but when they picked Slayton, that didn't, or I guess they didn't even pick Slayton. The Mets picked him and they traded for him, but it didn't at all feel like a flyer.
Go look at the Rule 5 guys from last year, how many teams guys made the team. A lot, right? And it was such an outlier. And Gordo, you hit the nail on the head. It's because there's so much information. It's not, we think this guy could. They say, look at his analytics. Look at his measurables. If we do this or we do that, this is going to translate. And with Slayton, obviously, it was this guy who threw really hard. But if you developed another pitch in the mix, then he might take off, and he took off. And next thing you know,
or in the case of Garrett Whitlock, wasn't it his Instagram video?
Well, that was like a perfect storm of weirdness. I mean, where you had a guy who there's a lot. I could put that under a lot of things. A perfect storm of weirdness. but he was a guy who he was coming off Tommy John. And then COVID hit, so you had no proof of like where he was at, what he could do. And obviously, he went on Instagram. The Red Sox saw it; they took a flyer on him. They had good scouting reports on him from way back, and you know. And then he just went on his way. But the, you know, it's just a different dynamic. And I'm, you know, we're not getting the weeds, the rule. Listen, it's not like 2:40 on February 15th. We're talking Rule 5 when the Alex Bregman signed. But it just made me think with Brian Abraham talking about all these minor leaguers, about the dynamics. And also the next tier, the next layers of the Red Sox roster and where they're at. Because one of my favorite games to play going forward is meet Red Sox players in that clubhouse who you had no idea were in that clubhouse. Like, for instance, Austin Adams. Remember Austin Adams?
Oh, yeah.
He's in the Red Sox clubhouse.
Yelled at the Mets last year.
You want a DFA.
Yeah. I love that, though.
Holds a record for most hits batsmen in a year. It's great.
You know what else is interesting about the minor league aspect of this is Robert Stock was telling us about this on Play Tessie, was when you do get to the major league level and you're traveling on the private airplane, you're eating really good food, you also don't want to go back to the minor league part of it all. And that's something that stuck with me for so long. And now I'm getting like, when guys get called up and they're fringe on the roster and they get sent back down, now I'm going to think like, oh, the poor guy, he had a taste of freedom.
True when these guys have to leave, even in spring training, when you make that first round of cuts and the lockers start clearing out, and also now you have to be the guy being carted in the bus at 2:00 in the afternoon down the way, eating the food that is not as good as the food that you're eating with a major league team, all of it. It's so depressing. There's no way around it. So, we can talk more about this.
Rob, before we go to break, I'm looking at Rule 5 results from 2023 on Baseball America right now, and there's a little video playing in the bottom corner, just popped up, of Trevor Story's interview on Nesson today. And look, he's in the background.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
You and Whitlock, both viral. This is the story of the day. I'm not even.
It kind of is. And as soon as I saw it, it is such. I was telling. I think Jen McCaffrey was telling this too. It said, you know, we tie ourselves into knots to covering all the bases and getting all the storylines and interviewing all the players, and it's great because they're all here. And there's plenty of storylines, and people like them to a certain extent. But really, ultimately, it's Mookie Betts driving the golf cart into the lake. It's Rob Bradford not being able to put on his sunglasses in the background of a Trevor Story video. Yeah, that's there you go. Yay, baseball. After the break, I do want to talk to you guys about, I just looked at the World Series odds, and I'm a little surprised. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little surprised. I thought Alex Bregman might give the Red Sox a little more push than he did. I want to get your take on it. All right, this is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. We got one more segment to go. That's Gordo. That's Sammy, the Play Tessie podcast. I'm Rob Bradford. Be back after this. All right, welcome back to Baseball Isn't Boring. What do we got? What do we got coming up? What's going on?
Well, we're Travis Thomas.
Travis Thomas? I could have asked like Sammy and Gordo, what do you got coming up? You going like going to the nice day at Bed Bath and Beyond? What's happening?
Nice day to bet. Well, no, I wanted to talk about the betting odds, which is why we.
No, I know. I'm going to talk about that.
He's
I was
talking
more,
about after the show.
I care more about you guys.
Oh, after
it's
the
on
show?
A personal level.
Nothing.
Oh, it
I'm
is.
I'm going to watch videos of Bregman hitting home runs for 7 or 8
hours. Like they used to like. That's what Bobby Valentine did when you walked in the Red Sox clubhouse in spring training. They sat on a loop, guys, with bat flips, walk offs. That's what it was. It was supposed to be ingrained in your head, and then you did it.
It's motivation, Rob.
Yeah, and half of them were like Cody Ross. So,
he was all right. Good.
Well,
he was good.
No, I love Cody Ross. He had a pretty good year. It was a good acquisition.
He had an okay.
And next thing I know, I saw him 2 years ago at a Little League game. He was coaching a Little League team. The other coaches were Ben Francisco, Peter Borges, Aaron Bates. All these guys played in the major leagues, and Joe Kelly. What a coaching staff!
Isn't Cody Ross like boys with Lil Wayne?
He was, yeah. Yeah. Actually, one of the times when I was looking to do the Hall of Fame ballot reveal, I thought I could maybe get Lil Wayne, and he was Cody Ross efforted that for me. But it didn't work out. Next time. Next time.
Nice of Cody Ross, though. Nice of him to try.
I'm just bummed that you didn't comment on the song.
On what? Why?
Because it was it slightly alluded to gambling, know when to walk away.
Okay. Is like gambling like the odds that we're going to give now?
I'm trying to be creative.
The sunglass songs were much better.
All right.
Which, by the way, now that you pointed out that I'm embedded on every baseball website there is, I don't know if that made me feel any better.
It's going to follow you for a bit.
It's good. I like it. It's good for the brand.
Yeah.
All right. So as I said, this is FanDuel's odds. World Series 2025 winners. Okay, it surprised me. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought that with this Bregman signing, we could say, all right, Yankees, Red Sox, top of the American League. You know, certainly not where the Dodgers are, but maybe in the mix where some of these other teams are. But nope, not the case. Do you guys have those in front of them, or am I going to fly blind with you?
I pulled it up. Sammy, if you
all right,
I'm not looking.
Right, well,
I'm not looking.
All right, okay. I'm going to say, I don't know how you want to do this. I'll say a team, and you tell me if you think that they're ahead or behind the Red Sox when it comes to the odds to win the World Series. Mm-hmm. All right, fair?
Yep.
Okay, San Diego Padres.
Behind.
They are behind, yes, but just one spot behind. Texas Rangers.
Ahead.
They're tied.
Okay.
Houston Astros.
Behind.
Ahead.
They should be behind. They should be behind.
Ahead. That is the most surprising. So I'm just going to go through the list here instead of playing that stupid game. Dodgers, number one, obviously, plus 240. Yankees, plus 700. I don't think those are pretty solid. Then Braves, plus 900. Phillies, plus 1,100. Mets, plus 1,100. Orioles, plus 1,400. Astros, plus 2,000. Rangers, plus 2,500. And Red Sox, also plus 2,500. So the thing is, there's a couple of things that bother me. It doesn't bother me, but surprises me about the perception of the Red Sox. All right, number one, I don't think anyone would think the Astros should be ahead of the Red Sox. Yes?
Certainly.
Right.
Yeah, that's nuts.
No. I have a few problems with these.
And I'm going to tell you what. Same thing with the Orioles. The Orioles, Lou and I were talking about what a crappy offseason they had, with all due respect to Tyler O'Neill. What a crappy offseason. And you can't just keep saying, oh, they got the young core, the young prospects. Well, they don't have Corbin Burns.
That well is also drying, Rob. Like, they've got a couple more coming. But their farm system is not what it was.
And they also, by the way, the guys who we kept talking about have to prove. Yes, Gunnar Henderson's worked out. Bradley Rutschman took a dramatic turn downward last year. And then you have the other guys. You have to prove. Jackson Holliday has to prove that he's going to be a star. You can't just say he's going to be a star. And all the while, the Corbin Burns thing fit so well for them last year. And they didn't replace him. Now, if they got Dylan Cease, fine. I put him at 14, plus 1,400 ahead of the Red Sox. That's fine. But they don't have him. So I don't
Rob,
know.
Rob, all things considered, I've been saying this about the Orioles for a while, but right now, all things considered, I'm not saying I believe this, but you can make an argument that they've had the worst offseason of any team. They have the most clear path forward. They could easily be the top team in the American League with a few signings, and they've pretty much done nothing. So context included, I think they've been embarrassingly bad this offseason, the Orioles.
And then you have the tier top, other than the Dodgers, the next tier of National League teams, where you have the Braves at plus 900, the Phillies at plus 1100, the Mets at plus 1100. Of those teams, honestly, I would say that I would probably put the Mets ahead of the Braves and the Phillies.
Ooh,
I think
I disagree
close.
With that, Ryan.
Really?
I was surprised
really
the Mets good. Were that high. I know they got Juan Soto, but their starting rotation does not look very good. Their bullpen looks fine.
You don't know what it looks. It looks okay. It's fine. But I would say this. I was just on the Atlanta radio station the other day, and every time I go on with them, I feel like why are you guys so down on the Braves? Like there's a reason why everyone was applauding all those extensions, because they're good players who are getting extensions.
You know why? I think it's because when the Braves were really good, they were by far and away the best team in the National League. And now they're still really good, but there's other teams that are on par with them. It felt for a year or two like they were in their own league, and it doesn't anymore.
I also think with the Braves, it's just they were fine last year, but they were fine without Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna Jr.
Super
so, like,
up.
They may not have added a ton of meat this offseason. Like, yeah, they got Profar, but the big additions are going to be when Strider and Acuna make their way back.
Yeah.
And, like, hopefully guys like Austin Riley, Matt Olson have better years than they did. If they don't, then obviously, yeah, I get why Braves people might be a little down, but they shouldn't be.
Murphy Here's too. What you should know with the Braves.
Yeah,
if the stars are stars, they'll be really, really good.
Yeah.
And they have guys who can be stars.
They have as many
there.
Stars as any team in baseball in terms of quantity.
Yeah. So there you go. Chicago Cubs also plus 3,000. That surprised me a little bit. I think they should be a little bit higher.
You know
as
who
well.
Should be higher, Rob?
I'm
looking
cool.
at this. There's cool. two teams back-to-back on this list that should be higher, namely the Arizona Diamondbacks, but also the Cleveland Guardians. I know they've lost people, but until the Guardians prove that they're not good, plus 3,500 and what? Like they're like 15th or something on this list?
I think that's good. I keep the Guardians there. Don't hit.
You know who've proven that they're very, very good? You guys. Play Tessie podcast. Gordo, Sammy, Pat, Joe Braverman, one of the best podcasts out there, the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. I appreciate everything that you guys are and everything that you do, and I hope that this was a little bit therapeutic for you just to celebrate something that needed to be celebrated. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us, Rob.
So much fun. We love it.
All right. Well, thanks to everybody out there for listening, certainly, and thank you to Brian Abraham for swinging on by. Thank you for Jacob Laster for producing Behind the Glass. Thank you to Doug Lane for sitting here and feeding us orange juice and all the good vibes. We appreciate it all. We're going to be back. I don't know when we'll be back, but you know where you can find us? Every single day. Baseball is in Boring Podcast. Subscribe to it. At socials at BB Isn't Boring. Travis Thomas Experience coming up. Thanks, everybody. Live from JetBlue Park. We'll be seeing you.
The dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.